Well, you are in for a treat here today because you get to hear in just a moment from Andrew File, our missional director. And we are on the heels of an incredible weekend. Last weekend, obviously, Serve Day. Hopefully you had a chance to come out and be a part of that. You know, some folks would say, why would a church spend what seems to be like 3 weeks on the idea of just serving? Like, why don't you just go serve one time and be done with it? I said, because this is the well. And 8 years ago when we started this church, there was a group of steely-eyed college students who looked me in the eye and says, we want to be a part of a church that demonstrates faith in the streets, that doesn't just come to church and sit and soak and sour, but takes the word of God, puts it into their lives, and then demonstrates it in the world around us. And so we started this church with the value of being missional. We are very, very committed to being the demonstration of the gospel to the world around us. So much so that we'll do a message before Serve Day talking about what it means to serve from an overflow of what God has done in you. We'll take a week, cancel all of our services, go downtown in multiple areas and serve, and then we'll spend a week afterwards to remember. We fail to recognize sometimes as we read, for example, in your Old Testament, all of the times the people of God paused to remember, to just stop and celebrate, to cheer what God has done, to point to what happened, and to bring glory and honor where glory and honor is due, and that's to Christ. And so in our time, what we want to do together is point to that. Because what happened this last week was a demonstration of what the faith of the believers ought to be expressed in our communities. For far too long, Christians have sat on the sidelines, have given a check to a philanthropic organization, called that being missional, and in that failed to recognize what God has called us to be as followers of Christ. He's called us to be a part of the gospel, to be a part of demonstrating our faith, to be a part of the movement of God in our communities. We've been committed to that from the very beginning, and my hope would be that from a small group of steely-eyed college students 8 years ago, what's happened over the years has been another log placed on the fires of passion of being missional, and yet another, and yet another, and yet another. And I hope that Serve Day this last week was a reminder of what could be, but also a challenge. Because I, you know, was kind of a Twitter stalker. I was a website stalker. I was out of the country, so was kind of following online how Serve Day went. And I totally confess, I was like a, you know, some sort of like internet stalker watching it all happen digitally. But I wasn't there. And the concern I've got is simply this. If you ask the question, what is the gravitational pull of a church? Is it towards being more missional or less missional? I think the answer, of course, would be less. The danger that we face as a body, if we are not careful, is we become complacent. And we look to the next person who's next to us and say, well, they'll do it. Or the person across from us, well, they'll do it. And everybody points to everybody else and nobody takes up the baton and serves. Now this last week, and you're going to hear in just a moment, of all of the stuff that happened. And it was tremendous. One of the most impactful Serve Days we've ever had. But I would not be the kind of leader that I hope I am with a passion and fire inside of me if I just sat back and said, boy, wasn't that great. And didn't say, hey, what could be? What could be for the glory and honor of God if not just the person next to you got motivated, but if we got fired up about what God was doing in us and through us for his glory in the community. And so you're going to hear some stories of both what happened from a kind of a macro level of all of the different things that were happening all over the city. And you're going to hear from Andrew in a minute that it was crazy, all the stuff that went down. You're also going to hear in your specific context of what happened both at North, at Fig Garden, as well as at Southeast, and some of the projects that happened there. But I want to challenge you to something. As Andrew comes, I want you to think about what it could look like for the body of Christ to continue to not only celebrate what was, but to get motivated and mobilized together for what could be. Because I came off the airplane here from my trip, and I started hearing the stories. My email was getting lit up from people, not only from our church, but from the community. And I just cannot help but wonder what could be as this movement called the Well, Christ in us, continues to grow and develop. I can't wait to see what's going to happen as the months and years progress in this movement. Now, behind every great organization, there's obviously the movement of God among us. And this has always been kind of a mystery that God has been so strong in support of what's happening. But truthfully, not only that, but also a great staff team. We've said it before. I think we've got one of the most talented staffs I've ever worked with in my life. And they are some of the most talented, humble, teachable, and sharp young leaders. And I get the privilege of introducing one of my favorites. And so why don't you give it up with me for our missional director, Mr. Andrew File.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Well, it's great to be with you guys today. Like Brad said, I'm the missions director for The Well. And what I want to do is kind of step back and go, okay, why did we do that? What does it look like for the missions at The Well? What do we do as an organization? And what is your individual calling, your individual role now? Before I get that, I want to pause and reflect. Serve Day, and just in case either you weren't here, weren't a part of it, or you are part of one project and not the whole, I want to give you a big picture of what actually happened. Serve Day, this is our third year doing it. We had 1,100 people across 2 days, 12 different locations, 3 different elementary schools we partnered with. That's over 4,000 volunteer hours that went down last week. So that's amazing. We stepped outside of kind of our partnerships. We worked with Habitat for Humanity, Poverello House, Neighborhood Thrift, Evangel Home, Storyland Playland, Off the Front, and FIFO. And so really got out there and engaged the city, engaged the community. I want to pause right now and just say thanks to a couple people that made it possible. Jesse Wilson, Kathy Troxel, Sam Freshwater, Andy Getz, Stephanie Anthony, Andrew Young, and the whole EMP crew, Brian Ross and Ed Ferrer. If you give them a round of applause, they deserve it. So they made that happen, and it was a huge success. And so I kind of want to recap what happened, why we do it, and just see from the scriptures what God calls us to as individuals. So if you turn to Matthew 5:16, that would be great. What you continually see throughout the scriptures is that the people of God engage in mission. God calls the people out. He calls the people to be sent, to be set apart, and to be on this special mission. From the beginning, we see Adam and Eve in the garden. And sin enters that and fractures that right relationship with God. They go out of the garden, and God begins to call these people, these Israelites, through Moses, to be a set-apart people. He gives them laws, customs, rules that are totally different than those around them. These laws, systems, and rules really set them apart. You can tell that they are supposed to be the proclaimers of God and God on this earth and in this plan. These rules, they take care of the immigrants. So the people of God were immigrants, and so he has a heart for the immigrants. So that's built into the rules. They take care of the poor. If you had a field, you were supposed to leave the outer edges of your field for those that didn't have, and so they could take from that. It created a system that distributed wealth. That way there was never an inequality that people had and other people didn't. That was built into the system, to the holidays, to the traditions of the people of God. As you know, as we are, we lose track of that, though, right? We have a mission. We have a plan. We know we're sent. And then all of a sudden, we just start wandering. And so that same thing happens to the people of God time and time again. As you go through the New Testament and the Old Testament, people get off track. And in the Old Testament, we have these guys called the prophets. And they call the people of God, hey, remember. Remember what the rules were. Remember what the laws were. Remember why. You're going through some of the formalities, but the heart's not there. So the prophets call us back to remember righteousness, to remember justice. And they begin speaking of this guy, this Messiah that was to come, this guy named Jesus. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he really sets up a new kingdom that's not like what we would have thought. We would have thought it would have been of power and of the sword, and that kind of deal. And Jesus reminds us to remember the gospel. He says, I have a new kingdom. Go out and proclaim it. So Jesus continues that sending nature of the people of God. He continues to send them out among the people that don't know him and with a mission to engage. I like the book of Matthew just because I think it gives a good picture of what Jesus' sending nature is like. Early in the scriptures, in Matthew, you see Jesus beginning with a sermon. In this sermon, he's talking about how we need to be the flavor, the salt of the earth, and that we're going to flavor this world. We need to be the light that's going to shine in the darkness, and we need to glorify the Father in that. In Matthew 9 and 10, he begins sending out people, just saying, go, proclaim the gospel, proclaim the good news, engage your city, your area for the cause of the kingdom. You see this in Matthew 22. It reads, he's talking and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He goes on to say, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then this is one of my favorite parts of it. He says, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So all the things that God laid down, all those rules, all what the prophets are reminding us of were love the Lord with all that you got and love the people around you. Your love of God should motivate you to love the people around you. And so that's what Jesus is saying there in Matthew. And then finally, you guys have all heard it, Great Commission. At the end of Matthew, he says this, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus continues this sending nature that we're going to go out, we're going to be on mission, that we as the people of God are going to continually live on mission. And so that's what, you know, as we're talking about Serve Day, that's the nature that we have. It wasn't a two-day event. It's like, oh, that was awesome. We're done. I'll see you guys next year. We are continually as the people of God on mission. And so I want to talk a little bit what that means for us as the Well, as an organization, what kind of eggs we've put in the basket, and what it means for us as the people of God. You notice that word that we are at Poverello, or Powers Ginsburg, Easter Bee, and Susan Bee. What we call those is our target neighborhoods. So we as the Well have specifically targeted neighborhoods. Each campus at the Well has a neighborhood, has a school, an elementary school that they have targeted. So North has targeted Susan B. Powers Ginsburg is with the Fig campus, and Southeast has targeted Easter B. And what we believe is what Jeremiah 29:7 says. It says, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. We, as a church, have said, one of the ways we as a church are going to live on mission is that we are going to intentionally engage our city through elementary schools. We want to reach our city. One of the avenues we can do that is by being in the schools. So each campus is doing that. You guys have a chance to be a part of that awesome ministry. What that looks like is we have classroom volunteers. They're in there raising test scores, helping the kids, helping the students. At Susan B., the principal told us, every classroom that has a Well volunteer did better on the state exam, state test, than those without. And it's because we're making an impact. We're making a difference in those classrooms. We have a Saturday sports program where 9 to 11 on Saturdays, we go out there and play sports, and we have crafts for you non-athletic people. But we do sports and crafts for the kids because we want to be Jesus to them. So they're going to hear about Jesus in the skits and the stories we tell. They're going to see Jesus by us being there and being the hands and feet of Jesus. We have mentors because we know that if you have a positive mentor in your life, the odds of you doing better at school and just in life in general exponentially increase. So we have mentors. We even have people from the Well that are saying, okay, as a church, you guys have targeted this neighborhood. I'm going to make that neighborhood my home. So we have people going, that's not going to be their problems. That's going to be our problems. I'm going to be part of that change. I'm going to live sent in those neighborhoods. Those are some of the local things that we do. As a whole, we also encourage life groups to get involved. It was so fun to see life groups engaging in mission together, serving together. And we're going to provide those opportunities. We're going to continue to push you towards that and see that happen, because that is so fun when you're doing life together to get on mission together. We do things globally where we're going to send teams every couple times a year. So this summer, we're sending to Costa Rica, Thailand, and Swaziland. Because we know that the mission of God needs to go throughout the world, that people need to hear the gospel, and we need to be a part of sending that. We're going to do that same thing, but long term. So we call that extended family, where we have members of the Well that have said, hey, I'm going to be at the Well. I'm just going to be in Morocco or Thailand or Costa Rica. And they're with us. They're our family, and they're out there in the countries globally. That goes, the same thing goes for tithe. You guys tithe here. We give away 10% of what we get, because we know if we hold on to it as the church, it'll become about us. It'll become inward focus, what things we want, what things we have, and we're going to give that away. So we give 10% of our income away. We're giving them to organizations like EMP that help churches connect with schools. In the last year, they've connected 36 churches with 25 schools. So we want to see every church, EMP wants to see every school with a church partnership. That way this city is getting loved on by the church. So that's what we're committed to as an organization. That's just a snapshot, really quick snapshot of what we as the church are committed to and what you can be a part of, but don't think you get away easy in this process. One of my pet peeves, if you want to really get me going, is to say, I love how missional the well is. I love how missional the well is. Why? Because you're the well. So are you missional? Are you sent? Are you living as a sent person on God's mission, engaging this city? Because the well is made up of individuals. So it's not an organization that sits and you can say, oh, I'm glad they're missional for me. And I can go on a Sunday and I don't have to engage in mission. I can just go and they can do it for me. You as a responsibility, it's on each one of us to engage in mission. Now, if you look to Matthew 5:16, like I was saying earlier, this is really the root verse that we go back to time and time again in the world of mission. Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Earlier in there, Jesus is talking about how we need to be the salt. And the world has lost that taste, and we need to be the ones that bring it back. And how we're the light, and we need to shine light in the darkness. And what he says there at the end is that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. At the end of the day, when we understand Christ, when we understand the gospel, and we begin to live that out, the world's going to see. The world's going to see Jesus, and he's going to get glorified. That's what happened on Serve Day. We know nonprofits and organizations and people that saw Jesus tangibly this last weekend, and that's what we're about. Our goal for the well and for you as individuals that call the well home is that you would begin to live on mission. That as you begin to live on mission, as you realize that you are sent by Christ to engage the circles where you live, work, and play. We talk about that, and I think it's a good thing to think about. The circles you live, work, and play. Each of us have influence in different areas. Connections I can't make, you, other people can't make. You have spheres of influence where you live, work, and play. And you need to live on mission in those circles. You need to be the ambassador of Christ, as a sent ambassador of Christ for the gospel. And as we begin to understand the gospel and live that out, it puts verification, it puts street cred to what we say. So we say we're a Christian, but if we're not seeing it, if we're not seeing the actions, we're not seeing the work, it's a false thing. People are going to begin to see that out. They're going to be able to sniff that out. And so we want to put that truth and that verification behind what we say as a church and as a people, that we love Christ and we're going to show that. You are going to come here week on and week out, and you're going to hear the gospel. You're going to continue to hear the gospel because we know that that will create life change. So what does that look like for you guys? Each one of you guys have a different mission. Each of you have a different calling. And I encourage you, as we went through the Nehemiah series, I think that was a good discovery time for a lot of us of going, okay, what has God put on my heart? What are the burdens he has for me? Because we each have different things. We each have different callings, different skill sets. You saw in the video, you saw evangel home workers, they're, you know, doing doors and roofs. If that's not my skill set, you want something crooked and that's going to leak, call me. But it's not going to be with a handyman. My passion is the poor. It's urban. I have a passion to really challenge and engage Christians to get outside of the comfortable and engage their faith. Other people have a passion and a skill set to just get to know their neighbors, to be relational, to coach their kids' soccer team. Because in coaching their kids' soccer team, they're going to get to engage with all the parents. They can live on mission with the different parents that they engage with. So I encourage you guys to begin to figure out what that's going to be. What spheres of influence do you live, work, and play? I'm not going to give you the answers. I'm not going to say, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. You got to figure it out. What has God made you to do? And to live that continually day in and day out. And one of the caveats or one of the things I would say is going to be key to this process is that it takes intentionality. For each one of us, we have to intentionally take steps to move in this process. Because it's awkward, right? It's not, we're getting outside of the comfortable. If you ever go down to G Street, it's not comfortable. It's not. You got to get out of there, and that's going to take that intentionality. And it's going to take that. So you don't just wind up, you know, sharing Christ with a barista at Starbucks. You don't wind up, you just don't, you know, end up talking with a homeless guy on G Street. You don't just end up doing those kind of things. It takes that intentionality of realizing that you are sent, of understanding the gospel and living that out. So my prayer for you guys in the short time that I've had is really to push you. As Brad said earlier, is that that's who we are. This is the DNA of the Well. We are going to be on mission. That is one of the core values, connecting, community, equipping, and mission. So you're going to continually hear us talk about mission because it's your burden. It's our burden. And we're going to continue to live that out because we know that we need to put credentials. We need to put that cred behind the gospel and that we need to continue to believe it and see it lived out in the world. So let me go ahead and pray. And we'll wrap up today. Dear Lord, you are good and you are faithful. And we just thank you for a fantastic weekend last weekend. And we are so excited to know that what happened last weekend is not disconnected, that it's not one and done, that is connected to people that are there day in and day out, classroom volunteers. It's connected to Saturday sports. It's connected to relationships that are built at various nonprofits. And we know that you're going to be faithful to mobilize this church, to serve, to be on mission, and to live as sent. Give us the strength and the boldness to live intentional lives that are really just out there on the line for your sake, Lord. We love you, and just thank you for this church.